Evolve Business and Entrepreneur Magazine and Evolve Digital present the Evolve Live Podcast with host Howard Holley, Evolve Magazine publisher. Each podcast features leaders from the business world, civic organizations, or government talking about current issues and challenges and opportunities to shine a light on success.
Welcome to the Evolve Live Podcast. I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Business and Entrepreneur Magazine. Each episode offers listeners an inside view about the issues, challenges, and opportunities business owners, entrepreneurs, and civic leaders face with a variety of voices. We have a focus on overcoming adversity as a key component of achieving success, and we will talk more about that later. Our guest today is Corinne Heck, the founder and CEO of Details Flowers Software, a program she created to help florists and event planners. She has worked in nearly every aspect of the floral and event industry for more than 20 years, which is very hard to believe. With experience of creating and producing over 800 events in Central Florida, Corinne saw a gap in the market for florists and event planners, all-in-one solution, software solution to assist them managing costs, productivity, and organization. Details Flowers Software was established in 2015 and has grown to include an international clientele of not only florists, but also farmers, distributors, and breeders of flowers from all over the world. In 2016, Corinne presented Details Flowers Software at the Rollins College Venture Pitch and won the presentation and grand prize. And we will put a pin in that and come back to it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. Welcome, Corinne.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about your journey to becoming a business leader. When you look at that journey, are you where you expected to be now, or are you at a different place?
Goodness, I didn't really have an end goal. So I would say that I'm exactly where I needed to be, but I just went out and started doing something that I felt a lot of joy and love for. And that's what brought me to the floral industry. And I've since remained here, but at first I ran a computer system taking orders over the phone for like birthdays and special occasions, mm-hmm. and saw, wow, they're really moving a lot of flowers through here. And as it evolved, I ended up moving down to Miami, and working for some distributors there, and just opened my eyes to a whole new world. So I guess it's just been an evolution, but my love for flowers is what got me started in it.
So is that one that you had as a kid, or is that something you acquired?
You know, my family owned nurseries in Apopka, Florida.
Okay.
And I grew up in nurseries, so mm-hmm. you can say that I'm of an entrepreneur ship family, mm-hmm. and we distributed plants and dish gardens to all the Walmarts and grocery stores when I was growing up, but I had no idea what they were doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What do your parents think of the business?
Well, my father is deceased. He died of multiple sclerosis about 10 years ago, but I feel like my mom is just so proud and mm-hmm. just thinks my dad would be super proud because they moved to Florida to grow plants and flowers, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what my legacy is.
And where did they move from?
Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Detroit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a major transition. And so you ended up in this family business without intending to be in the family business.
Yeah. And it makes me just so happy because yeah. I went back to the Michigan State Floral Convention, and they all remember my dad.
Wow.
And it's been really exciting that they've seen where he used to drive around and sell dish gardens to florists, mm-hmm. but now I'm helping these same florists manage their businesses. Okay. And
so, Corinne, I read a little brief intro about the business, but I'm sure it's woefully inadequate to describe it. So why don't you take a minute and let our listeners know what your business is. What is your business of Details Flowers Software?
Okay, so in a nutshell, basically, we provide business solutions to florists near and far that produce special and high-end weddings and special events. So they can use our software to manage all of the aspects of that event, and in doing so, they can create recipes, come up with the right products to sell that might be seasonally, have a catalog of any supplier that's directly related, and they pull all these items together into a proposal that they can then send to a bride that is beautifully crafted with all their color palettes and schemes and just the ideal event that is everything you'd want to say yes to, and gets basically the payment from the client at that point. So they can send these virtually to their brides and can get it digitally signed. So it's an all-in-one business solution. It handles payments and merchant processing, as well as all the ordering aspects and calculations that you can imagine that florists deal with every day.
And when I look at the engagement in the e-commerce and all of those elements, are they occurring on your platform, or are you on their platform and is executing within their website?
So it's all our IP. Okay. So they're on our site. Okay. It's a cloud-based service. Mm-hmm. They pay monthly or annually to use the service, and they can manage as many weddings and events as they can procure. But we additionally connect them with different suppliers throughout the world. So they can look at a product and see how that's priced and actually submit their order to that grower or farmer anywhere that we have connections with in the world, mainly South America.
So that seems to extend the innovation that they can execute. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it's just mind-boggling to me that when I entered this industry, it's so disconnected between where the florist is and as the frontline salesperson to what the growers and even distributors know about when events are happening. And it occurred to me after I was doing this event industry business in Daytona, where I started my boutique, that sometimes the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing as far as orders. So I could sit with a bride and have her order prepared in January. Her wedding might not happen till October, but I don't tell my wholesalers that information till about a month prior. Mm-hmm. So there's 9 months of time there where they could be getting supplies in order, making sure that we're going to have the products. And this type of system allows the florist to easily distribute that information and in an exact amount.
Mm-hmm. So do you market directly to the end user or the, you know, person getting married, or do you, does all of that occur through your users or your clients of your platform?
So at this point, we're just a B2B business. Gotcha. So we market directly to our florists, and they bring in their clients from a number of different reasons. And a lot of them are established already. Like when I was a florist, I had a great relationship with my venues. So they would feed me a lot of business because they knew I would take care of their clients in the way that they would like it to be. So they already bring the client to our business, but we are helping them price it and also make sure they're getting their proper margins, because a lot of florists are not great on the business side as far as knowing where their margins need to be, how many staff they're going to need to hire, and what is this product and where is it coming from? Because for any one event, you might be getting 50 different flowers, and these flowers are grown from, you know, 20 different countries. So getting all those pieces together is a really unique proposition that I saw as a needed
tool. So it sounds to me you're bringing a couple of elements to play that business owners and entrepreneurs care about. One is productivity.
Oh, yeah.
So they're able to be a lot more productive, which then they can translate into better margins and reduce their cost. And then you're allowing them to be innovative by giving them access to a much wider array of resources than they would normally have. And then lastly, you're allowing them to customize and to really meet the needs of their direct client.
Absolutely. And it's all in a click of a button where you can easily duplicate things, or, you know, that wedding sold really well and you knew the margins were great. Let's just duplicate that wedding and change the number of bridesmaids and grooms.
So, yeah, I get that it's a click of a button, but you had to get that button there. So tell me about that journey, because it's an idea, but you've got to turn that idea into reality. So it is simple as a click of a button.
Yeah, and it took over 10 years before I even sold my very first subscription.
Wow. Not unusual, though.
No, and, you know, it really occurred to me that there was a big problem when I was working in the import side when I was down in Miami selling mm-hmm. boxes of flowers. And my buyers would buy all these great flowers, but that wasn't the color that everybody wanted that week. You know, mm-hmm. they bought a bunch of yellow. I was supposed to sell the yellow. If I had had purple, I would have made a fortune. And you know, it always stuck with me in the back of my head. Like, if I had known what the client would want, I would have done really well on that mm-hmm. sale. Mm-hmm. So move ahead a few years, I desired to be a wedding boutique florist. And I had no idea how to do this business. I Googled, how do you open a flower shop, or how do you know how to price these things? And had I not had the experience of knowing how to buy product mm-hmm. grade, I probably wouldn't have started off those first few years. But I realized that my systems needed to be so on point to even make a profit, you know, to do this generally artistic business, mm-hmm. working with mm-hmm. brides and creating their dream mm-hmm. fantasy wedding. You know, it's a lot of work behind the scenes for these events. Mm-hmm. So I just kept plugging away at it. But when I had the idea for the software, I couldn't let it die. Mm-hmm. Like the event. This idea followed me for 3 years of me thinking about it nonstop. Like, mm-hmm. well, what if there was this kind of system? And I searched for everywhere to find something. And then it's like, I knew I had something no one caught yeah. on yet. And then I didn't want to tell anybody my idea mm-hmm. for fear mm-hmm. I wouldn't, like, they would beat me to the punch. Mm-hmm. But like, what it comes down to is no one's going to be nearly as passionate mm-hmm. of seeing that end goal as I was mm-hmm. because I could visualize it in my head. So I would read a lot of books. How do you start a business? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? Get advice. And what I found was when my education, when I took my Excel as far as it could go, I just...
Your Excel spreadsheet?
Oh my gosh, it could go... I couldn't get it to do anything else, you know, and I couldn't share it because someone would delete some equation right. and then my
Doesn't
whole...
Take
I'd have
yeah.
to rewrite
yeah.
this yeah. this line. And I just knew I had to... So I read a book that said just... When you introduce yourself, you need to introduce who you want to be, not what you are. Mm-hmm. So I started introducing myself as a software developer for the floral industry, which mm-hmm. would open up so many questions of people. Well, what is that? And before you know it, I got put into the right place at the right time and met some people that could help me further along in my journey.
So tell me how that ties into the Rollins College venture pitch. How did that fit into this timeline, and what was the value that it brought to this endeavor?
Well, I realized that there was, I met with a ton of programmers in Orlando, and they told me that to build the software that I'm imagining, it would cost upwards of $1 million. And I thought, where am I going to find this kind of money? So in those introductions, when we'd talk about further, I would tell people, yes, I'm looking for $1 million. Where can I find this, mm-hmm. you know, magic money? And I was introduced to the Florida Venture Forum, which is a really great organization in Florida. They host two events each year, and people go from the state of Florida and pitch their ideas if they're selected. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, this is what I need to do. Like, I need to be able to get out in front of people and pitch my idea like I'm on Shark Tank and mm-hmm. do the formatting and so forth. So I joined the UCF Business Incubator. Mm-hmm. And
the one in Daytona Beach?
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. With Connie Bernal. Mm-hmm. And we also, so I started working on crafting my pitch. And after a few failures and a few good jobs, and I thought I did a great job, and a few... Yeah, they didn't really think too much of my idea. They, you know, I went back to the drawing board many times. Mm-hmm. There was the opportunity to submit my entry for this particular engagement. And I didn't, the main judge in it, who is a great friend now and my biggest mentor, had completely ridiculed me on stage at this one night. So I didn't think that I would be a great candidate. I felt like they already had their mind made up on my business. So it was nice to get a second opportunity. And so
you had gone to the same group before?
In a different manner, like a different local, like there's a lot of competitions out there if you want to go out and try. Mm-hmm. But yes, so this particular gentleman, I didn't think he liked my business, but I think he was just giving me tough love. And I think I really wowed them. So I won $25,000 from Rollins, and then I accepted another $75,000 in a convertible note, which I ended up paying back.
Great. Super. That's still not a million.
No.
Did you do it with that?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So what did it take to accomplish that, Corinne? I mean, you've got people telling you it takes $1 million to do something, and you could have spent a lot of time waiting until you got $1 million. And it sounds like you said, the story is right. I'm getting traction. Let me go with what I have. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah. You know, after I got over the fact of hiding what I was building and I was telling everybody, all the people that loved me were then telling people about it. So I started getting calls for this software that I had, you know, it was just an MVP that I was using in my own business, and I didn't want to sell this. Like it still needed a lot of work, but I started getting calls like, hey, we need what you have. So I would add a customer here, and then I'd add another customer here. And then it was like, oh, well, they're enjoying it. I know it isn't where it needs to be, but they're giving me feedback on what is working. And so then, you know, that first year I had 16 customers. The next year I had 72, you know, and so on the story
so
goes.
So you really ended up self-funding.
Absolutely.
Wow.
The customers did.
What's the best way to grow the business? It may take longer, but it's sturdier.
Yeah. But, you know, it really allowed us time to figure out what we were doing right and what we were doing wrong and where we needed to go. And then I would go and get more advice, and I would implement some of those things that I loved. I'd spit out, you know, I'd eat the good and spit out the seed, so to say, and really revolutionize, I think, or evolve what we were doing. And it's just a beautiful process when I look back on the people, the early believers, that they're the ones who made all the difference. And so
I always think about the product life cycle. And
we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, when you're at the leading edge with new innovation, only early adopters are going to participate, engage.
Yeah.
And that makes the market small. It makes it very challenging. If you try to launch something that's already in Main Street, already in the core, that's easy for people to visualize. But when you're doing something, and like you said, there was no one doing it, that makes it very challenging.
Well, and I feel like there's a lot of softwares that are similar to mine. However, they aren't focused on florist or the floral industry. And I feel like the floral industry is this massive industry, but yet we're supposed to use some other software that has no idea what flowers are, what seasons are, and so forth. So I think that's what sets us apart, is that we've really focused in on this industry. And it's a somewhere I'm just really proud to offer a solution like this. And
it should be. We always say at Evolve, we want to shine a light on success. And I think this is certainly a light we want to shine on what you're doing. But I also believe, Corinne, that overcoming adversity and challenges is a key element of sustainable success. And you talked about hurdles and your persistence, but did you find adversity that really was trying to stop you almost, that you had to overcome to get to where you are?
Well, yeah. Yes, I have. About 2 years ago, I just landed this really big deal. I thought the winning deal of the whole kit and caboodle. And that same day, I found out later I was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Oh, wow.
And I went from having the best day of my life to the absolute lowest.
In the same day.
The same almost moment. And which was really kind of shocking, like a God moment for me, whereas like, here I've worked so hard to achieve this, and look what you get on a lovely platter is this diagnosis. And so we, from the moment I found out, 4 weeks later, I had my removal, the excision. And I'm luckily, I I did very well. But there was a whole month there of
What kept you together?
Faith.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have gotten this far to not see all the mountains I had climbed of the what was on the other side.
So you also appreciated the other hurdles and adversity you had overcome. And so it made this one, it gave you the faith that you could overachieve that, because you turned around and looked back and said, look where I am. And I got there by faith, and I will go forward by faith.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a beautiful, I documented everything because I just thought, like, either this was part of my legacy or what was I leaving behind. And I just was so calm through the whole thing. I look back and I was just the person I was is now who I hope to be moving forward. But during that trial, I feel like I was really sturdy.
You know, when I asked you the question, you hesitated for a moment. And I think with what you've shared, that hesitancy was about whether or not you wanted to talk about that on air, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to be my crutch.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, all I would say is I appreciate that you did. Because if just one person hears this and it inspires them to replicate, emulate, you know, to get over that hurdle through faith, then it's worth it. And when we're speaking to invisible listeners, it's sometimes hard. It's easier when there are people in front. You can see in someone's eyes that you sparked them. And in this media, you can't.
Yeah.
But you can have the same impact. And I appreciate you joining us and sharing with us. And so, Corinne Heck, founder and CEO of Details Flower Software, a great story, a lot to be learned. Tell us how people can reach you, Corinne.
They can reach me through our website or Instagram, which is Details Flowers, and that's DetailsFlowers. And please give me a follow on my Instagram or connect with me if this is something that you enjoyed or want to learn more about, or any advice I can give to any young entrepreneurs or old.
Exactly.
It might take you a little while to get started, but the sooner you start, the sooner you'll get there.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Corinne. I appreciate your being here.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, hopefully you've enjoyed this segment. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Let us know what you think at editor@evolve-success.com or do so on our website, evolve-success.com. Visit our a view of our magazine and the content. This podcast can be found there. Thank you, Corinne.
Thank
and have
you.
A great 2022.
You as well.
Bye-bye.